We change. Does God change?
No.
So we're in the process of being changed from one to another. And that happens. Does it happen to you? Happens to me. Pastor Long is picking up his son, Bob Jones, and he's spending a birthday with his mother in the Carolinas. So he asked me to step in for him today. And we're thankful for that. Psalm 27. Go ahead to Psalm 27 tonight. We'll look at that very quickly. Psalm 27. My thoughts were this yesterday. Actually, it happened to me on Monday. I didn't know what.
Talking to that microphone so I can hear.
Is that to go this way? Is that better? Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Yeah, you have to direct into, you have to speak into this directly. All right. Where are we at? Psalm 27. A lot of good psalms. And God brings us to one of those here. And I think I want to direct my attention to verse 14. Look at verse 14. And it's kind of an outgrowth, if I can put it this way, on something that Pastor Long was preaching on 2 weeks ago on Sunday on waiting on the Lord, as he's concluding his study on Ruth and coming to a conclusion on that. And it was at this point where Ruth was waiting on Boaz and wondering what was going to take place. And I thought, well, the Lord was speaking to me about that, but I didn't know anything like that was going to happen even to me in the next day or two. In a world of movements, we need to wait on the Lord. Another place, the writer says this, I had fainted unless I had seen the Lord. We need not to faint. When life turns and we think something has changed, it has, but God hasn't. And think about that. Life changes. God doesn't. And where do we fit into that? But God is still on the throne. For us, life does make some big time changes. But still, we need to do something that Peter asks us to do in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast our care on the Lord, and he will care for us, right? Still, we need to do that. I'm not sure what I think. I wrote down this very quickly, but what God has in it, but I must be assured that it's always for his glory and for my good. For the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. And you know those verses. No matter what happens, how are you tied into that? It involves there that these things that happen to us, that happen in the world, all right, sometimes we look at them as, wow, how is that and what? And yet, is it for me good? Not necessarily at the time that it's that you're going through it. And that good, you're thinking, but then we need to trust that God. And it all really comes down to trusting in what God has for us. Why? Well, because I'm his. and he is mine. It is God who is really at stake here. It's his character that is at stake. It's his character. There's a couple of other places I want to turn to here tonight. If I can get my head together here and think about this. I had come up to recently again a change in my life. As you know, that we've been going through a lot of different things with our home, and you know all the things that's happening there. And finally, that seemed to settle down. And yet, life does continue to change. Have you found that in your life every day? But it's how you approach it and how things, and sometimes I think, and sometimes we think we know better, and that we're able to get over that. Well, a big change happened to me this past week with respect to teaching. As you know, I've been in the public school system for some 12 years. The second time I started teaching in the public schools way back in the 70s. And then God saved me and I went into the ministry, and you don't know what happened from that point on. I really felt that God would have us to continue on, and we did. And then God ended that ministry for us. And that's when we showed up here, 9/11. That year of big change. Do you know 9/11 changed a lot of things? Changed a lot for me too. But I really felt I had a handle on things. I really felt that we, and sometimes we do that, and have a handle on things. And we came here thinking that, well, all right, I'll continue on. But God changed my heart again, changed my life. And so life changes, but God doesn't. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm going to have you turn to another passage here in a second, as soon as I find it. All right, it's Romans 8:28. Seems like it was Psalm 46, but hang on a second. All right. Yeah, let's go to Psalm 46. This is another favorite of mine, and favorite of yours, I'm sure. In this same area, we speak, and the Bible says this, and verse 10 and verse 11, waiting on the Lord, but look at verse 10, be still and know that I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. I had fainted unless I had seen the, that's the thought that I had in my mind. Because this past week, a segment of my teaching ended very, very abruptly. And I thought, wow, why? And yet God continued to open up some doors for me and showed me some things that I needed to do in my life. And you need to do in your lives as well. When you approach something that you can't fix, I'm always a fixer. I want to fix it. All right? Do you want to do that? And I think that's the wrong approach. It's let God fix it. And that's where we need to be at this point. And that's where I needed to be. So my life has changed a little bit. And I got up on Sunday morning and came to church and taught Sunday school. But in the process, God directed me to a little devotional that I've been reading, and it's the last one, and I'm going to read that for you. And it's based upon Romans 8:28, but it's just a couple of pages here. But it's called Keep the Faith. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. And the little caption says here, God is writing a better story for your life. We try to write our own story. You know that? You do that? I've been doing that, trying to do that. And the writer here says, I wrote in a book called When Life Doesn't Turn Out the Way You Expect. You ever thought about that? You expect things to turn one way or another way. And we expect that. Well, so you'd think, he said, I would find something unsurprising. I thought too. At that time, my co-author had survived a brain tumor, and I had a replacement of a young age of a lost and an infant child. We thought we were experts in dealing with loss because we had done it. Ever thought you were experts? You've been through that before. I've been here before. And I'm got to be an expert at doing this. And sometimes in our Christian walk, we sort of think, okay, I've been here before. I can fix this. After writing that book, I was divorced, he says, disappointed by my friend, changed careers, had three or more operations. If life was surprising before, it had been a fun house since. Many people find life surprising. Many people find it surprising. Perhaps most of us thought we'd have stellar careers, perfect health, great marriages, model children, and some do. But life is not a whip that we can crack at will. It's a river that takes its own meandering course, and it takes us along for a ride. Thankfully, there are those lazy stretches of flat water, yet rapids and waterfalls there, certainly. This is called Keep the Faith. After yet another unexpected turn, he writes about that in life. How about you? Have you had unexpected turns in your life? Have you got to a point where you, now what direction are we going to go? What are we going to do next? All right. I remember Pastor talking about that. What's next? He said, all right, and he said his wise pastor gave me this advice. He said, Larry, a chapter in your life has come to a close, and there's nothing you can do about that. You're sad now because you don't understand what it means, and that's because you don't get to write the chapter that titles for your own life story. Guess who writes it? God does. We're just happen to be there, yes, all right. We do have some control of that. I don't know how much of that. And that's because we don't get to write that chapter, he says. From now, step into the next chapter with gratitude and wonder. And as you look back, you'll see that God has written the meaning all over the stage of your life. Perhaps it will be grace or growth or humility. That's interesting. In time, you'll understand. Then you'll accept that God is moving you further along in the story that he's writing for your life. So all things work together for good, and God's going to do that in your life, and God's going to do that in my life. And the writing continues on, and every step we take. Few people understand the meaning behind sudden turns of life, and when they come, some claim to see a perfect correlation between every circumstance and every seemingly simple lesson that God is teaching them. The end hasn't been written yet. I like that, what Pastor says. The end hasn't been written yet. But we know it's there, and God does have it. All right? He has that. All right? But more often it seems that God uses the tensions and troubles and the victories and defeats, even the gains, to write a long, long story that cannot be fully understood. and in Acts 1, or as in Acts 1 and Acts 2. You must read all the way to the end to understand the meaning of the tale of your life. Think of the great men of the Bible, and you'll like this. Think of Abraham, the epic played over a century, of what happened in his life, and the changes that happened. He began in Ur, migrated, went to Egypt, settled in Canaan. He was childless for decades, and then blessed, God blessed him with a son. And then, guess what he happened to do with that son? He was called upon to sacrifice that son. And Abraham's life continued to change. And yet God didn't change. That's the important part of this. All right. Abraham's life was anything but predictable. Yet because a model for all who believe, his great-grandfather, his great-grandson Joseph had an eventful life too. And not according to plan. So as you read the Bible and you see all of these things that God works out. So put the same thing into your life. And into the life that God is writing your life. And begin to put all of those patterns together and see those types of things. And it's incredible that what happens there. And at the end, Joseph was able to say to his brothers who had betrayed him in Genesis 50, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for, what's the word? Good. For good. For his glory, but for good. No matter what it is, keep the faith, brother, he says there. Keep hoping, keep trusting, keep on seeking God and pursuing holiness and following Jesus as best as you can. God is writing the story of your life, and it is a happy ending. He says this. This is kind of neat, all right? When you're going through hell, keep going. Winston Churchill said that. But draw a horizontal line on the sheet of paper to represent your life. Next, mark every point at which God has intervened and thank him for all those moments. Some of you have read that devotional many, many years ago. It was very, very popular of the sand. Right? I can't remember the name of it. But that God, when you're going through a deep water, when you're going through a difficult time, when you're going through things that you just have no idea, all right, it's God that picked you up and carried you along the way. Footprints, right? That's the one I'm trying to think of, yes. All right. Well, it's very, very interesting how we approach life. So the Lord once again, all right, gave me, I think, what I needed on Sunday as I read that. Keep the faith. You see that God is writing a better story for you and for me in our life as well as the Christian. That will last forever. God is eternal. Romans 8:28. The messages that Pastor has been bringing, I don't know. I think they've been just speaking volumes. Wow. I never thought a little book like Ruth had so much in it, and it does. And the messages that God has allowed our pastor to bring forth, and God has brought him to that point, has been given to us. Just wait on me. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, Psalm 27. The best is yet to come. It's still the best is yet to come. In the meantime, we're thinking, how much more? What else is going to turn? What's going to happen? Well, have you bought into that mindset yet? Have you bought into that mindset? Sometimes it's hard for us. It's hard for us to buy into that. And when you get a hold of that, that's revival. That's really when God gets a hold of you and changes that, and you buy into the mindset that, yes, God does have our best in mind always. Right? He does all the time. So God intervenes in our lives, and we need more and more to be in tune with him. That's why you're here tonight. That's why we come together and pray. That's why we show up on Wednesday, on Sunday and Sunday night, and ask the Lord to intervene and do something. I trust that that's something that God. So he does have our best in mind. Life does change. My life changes, your life changes, but God never changes. He is forever, forever. And his word won't change either. And that's why. All right. I'll encourage you a little bit there tonight.